I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about your first love. First love. Remember that? Remember that first love? Yes. And probably if you're like mine, I think I was in grammar school, but and couldn't even spell it, let alone know what it meant. But we want to look at it as a spiritual first love. Get one of those Bibles, and you may have your own. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. We want to look at a couple of scriptures tonight with the title, if we had one, Have You Left Your First Love? Have we left our first love? Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. What page is that on the little Bible, somebody?
241.
Okay. Back in the back. And, of course, this is going to be addressed to the church at Ephesus. Of course, the book of Ephesians is the book that's written to the church at Ephesus. This is one of seven letters to the seven churches that the Apostle Paul wrote to in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Common belief is that every born-again Christian is in one of those. In other words, there's seven different churches. It's not Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. But there are seven very different churches. Now, what I mean by very different, the groups of people that is categorized in these churches, we are in one of them. And I would challenge you to sometime to study or just ask the Lord, where am I? Of course, it might be startling too. This one starts out, well, let's read a little bit. Let's read 1 through 5, chapter 2. To the angel of churches of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Sounds pretty good so far, don't it? Pretty complimentary. It said, and you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Boy, they're out there today. I say all the time, you drivers are exposed to every kind of ism and schism in the world. Amen. You know, and that's okay if you're ready. True. You see, he gave us the full armor of God to protect us. We got to learn how to use it, right? He gave us the word of God to go by, but we got to learn how to use it. And our problem, I found, is we're in too big a hurry. Now, I'm talking about us, not you, us. We get too big a hurry. I promised God I would start spend more time in the morning in the Word. And sure enough, I'd get up and the phone start ringing right away, you know, and the next thing I know, I'm into my day and I hadn't really spent time in study. Now, I read over it. I mean, you know, prayed a quick little prayer. Probably most time I prayed en route to somewhere, you know, not quality time with God at all. You know, and it began to wear on me, and I began to notice that in my life. I don't know about you, but I could tell it pretty quick. I'm not talking about living in sin. I'm talking about just not spending time with God. That in itself is a sin, in a manner of speaking. But it became kind of comical that I would try to, you know, I said, well, I got to do better than that. You know, tomorrow morning, I'm just going to do better than that. Well, lately, in the last several weeks, he wakes me up about an hour and a half earlier. Just wide awake, you know, and I try to go back to sleep, but can't do it. It's an hour and a half before time to get up, or 2 hours, whatever. I say, okay, I got the message. I'll get up and study. But if we don't study, we won't know who are true, as this call said, they are apostles. Let me maybe use a different word to say that who say they're a Christian. They say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? You know, or even less than that, they'll say, I believe in God. I bet 90% of the people, if you ask everybody on this truck stop parking lot, probably 90% would say, I believe in God. wouldn't you think? Trouble is, who is God? Who is God to you? Right? I'll tell you something too, by the way, just a little, might help you a little bit. When you're out wanting to witness or share with somebody and they're talking about God and the Bible and whatever, and kind of if you sense that something's not right, just ask them one question. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Just ask them that. Who is Jesus Christ to you? And if they're not born again, if they're not walking in the Word, they'll start stumbling over that. And if they're of another religion that's out there, they'll tell you, I know of a couple or three that will say, He is the Son of God. Well, that sounds good. But turn it around and say, but He's also God the Son. That's where they'll say, oh no. No, no, no. You know, that's not correct. He was a good man. They'll say He was a prophet. He was this. He was a teacher. Da-da-da-da-da. But He is not equal with God. See, that separates, I guess you'd say, the real from the fake. The simple question is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Now, that wasn't even part of it, but we'll go ahead anyway. Found them to be liars. Where are we at? Verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Still sounding good. You patient? Sound like truck driving. My wife says I can't even spell patience, let alone B. That's one of my weaknesses. But it says, but you've not become weary. The Bible teaches us not to become weary in well-doing. In other words, it don't matter what it looks like on right here on the surface. We just got to keep plugging, right? And most of you done heard by now 100 times, but my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, when they said cancer, when they said it is cancer, I don't know if you've been through that with somebody, but that's about like getting hit in the stomach with a fist to me. Surely not, right? And we didn't say, why me? No, not that. But still, it was very devastating. Well, long story short, two surgeries later, we got four more treatments and we're through. Hallelujah. Radiation every day for 33 days. In downtown Atlanta. So I used to laugh at folks who had to drive up there to work. Now we go every day. But you know what? Thank God for modern medicine. Thank God for technology. Because they have caught it, took it out, and it's over. Amen. Right? But now, I'll be honest with you. This verse really speaks to me tonight. Because it's easy to become weary. You're out on the road, away from friends, family. Of course, you got your friends on the cell phone, probably. you got your group, so to speak, but having eyeball contact with the family, that's a different story. Sometimes you can get weary. And what that leads to is what we want to talk about tonight, if we're not careful. Now, don't automatically do it. It won't do it every time, but it can lead to leaving that first love. And when I mean first love, I'm talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, He is our first love.
Right.
I talked to, way back when I was driving, I was at a restaurant, and I've shared this before, but elderly lady was there. I say elderly, I'm elderly now, but she's probably my age or more. Probably late 60s, 70s, somewhere along there, waitress. And I was sleepy, needed something to wake me up. And I started talking about my best friend, that my wife's relationship with my best friend, the man that took my place in her life. And she was just about ready to cry. And I said, and I couldn't be happier. And she looked at me like, are you nuts? I said, His name is Jesus. and I'm glad he took my place in her life, meaning he is first. He's first in my life. He's first in her life. But if we don't look out, we'll become weary. Now we'll leave what I call the compliments. Look at this, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have done what? You've left your first love. You've become weary. You've become detached from God. Now, some of you might have never been born again. So you're detached from God. You're not there. And by the way, there's a kind of a common saying out there that everybody is God's children. No. That's not true. We're all created in God's image. We're all created in His likeness, but we're not His children until we come to the point of being born again. That's when you become His child. That's when you become His child. And He says here that in the process of time and life and whatever, the Apostle John says, you've left your first love. Well, Jesus is saying it through him, of course. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. One reason I want to read that verse to you is there's also a group out there now that says it's not necessary to repent to be born again. I'm just giving you some basics tonight to look at. Oh, yeah. Pastor told me that. And he was in Nebraska. No offense to the great state of Nebraska, but that's where he was. And he wanted one of his people to be one of our chaplains. And when they told me that, I said, oh, we can't go there. Jesus said in another place, unless you repent, you shall perish. Period. But they say it's not necessary to repent. So again, as we're going down the road of life, we get weary, we get tired, we get worn out, and along comes the phonies to fill us up with their garbage. And I don't know about you, but it seems to happen to me when I'm physically exhausted, when I'm really tired, mentally tired, any way you want to put it, that's when they come in, and if you don't look out, your guard will be down. Your guard will be down, and you'll buy into it if you don't look out. So let's just say we're all born again. We take off running, have all kind of great ideas. You know, we're going to, I thought I got saved in December the 19th, 1971. I'll never forget it. I thought, you know, everybody's going to get saved because I did. I wanted to tell everybody what happened to me, and I took off doing that, but I found out pretty quick not everybody was interested in what I had to say. You notice that in your life? But, you know, the funny thing I found out is they want me to participate in theirs, but they don't want to hear me talk. You ever notice that? It's okay to tell filthy jokes and curse and all these sexual innuendos, but something's wrong if you say something about Jesus.
Right.
Something's wrong with this picture. America, or we as a people of America, have gotten off track. We've become weary, and to the point we've accepted everything else. Just everybody come on in. But they're preaching their gospel, so to speak. We're not allowed to preach ours. There again, there's something wrong. I've heard many say, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I've heard several say they turn their CD off because they don't want to hear all that garbage. How many knows it's full of garbage? Anybody know why it's full of garbage? Because the Christians turned theirs off. Hello?
But you know what gets me?
Sir?
I say, you know what gets me, though, in situations like that? Somebody get on there and start talking. You know, or say you listen to a conversation that's not going the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody steps in and says something about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets so bad.
And that's all right.
The Lord that I serve, I mean, that's like people writing on the bathroom walls about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's the same.
Don't do that.
It's the same to me.
Right. You know, don't deface property. I put flyers or stickers, I mean, not stickers, but tracks. But don't, you know, I wouldn't deface it. Nor, don't get on the CB and preach either.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Get on there and say something. Ask the Lord to give you what I call tidbit gospel. You know, just something. Right? Something as simple as God's last name is not damned. Is that not a fact?
Right.
See, they don't know that. I said that one time, I remember, and you see, this ministry started on CB radio in this truck in our logo in 1976. That's when we started. Now, of course, the ministry was organized in 1982, 81. But what I mean is, I wanted to tell people about Jesus, and just, you know, if they started using my father's name, they automatically invited me into conversation. I've been married, no offense to you, young lady, but I've been married to the most beautiful woman in the world for 42 years. And do you think for a second that if you said something derogatory about her that I would just turn my head? I'm sorry, that ain't going to happen. Why? Why would I be like that? Because I love her. Now, she is awesome. She's wonderful, but she can't save me, right? Jesus gave his very life for me and for you and for everybody. So why can't I say something in response to what they're saying? Now, where it goes from there is not our responsibility, okay? But you plant a seed, for instance. I'll give you for instance. Not much of this was planned, but anyway, we'll go wherever. Going down the road, used to run to Texas, well, New Mexico and back every week. And somebody, a driver, used God's name in vain. And all I said was, God's last name is not damned. Well, you'd have thought I started World War III. And they went on and on and on, and I just waited. Trucking right along. They're going to run out sooner or later or run out of range one. It just so happened we was going the same direction with this particular person. And after he, I guess, drawed a breath, I said, can I say something? Yeah, go ahead. I said, God loves you. God loves you as much as he does me. Where you are right now, God loves you. Well, long story short, we wound up on the side of 287 in Texas, and I introduced him to Jesus Christ. Right. Wasn't so awful long after that I saw him again, and some years went by. But the bottom line is, he said, if I hadn't challenged him, heaven only knows. Now, don't get me wrong. You might have come along and done it. It could have happened another way, but it was my opportunity that night. And, of course, you don't have to tell everybody where you're at, because I'm a bucket mouth. I'm going to do that. You see, I believe this is true.
Amen.
In fact, let's go a step further. I know it's true. This is my first love. Like I say, I love my wife with all of my heart and those 10 grandchildren. It don't get no better than that. Have them come over, spend time. But there is one thing better than that, and that's time with him, with Jesus Christ. Because again, he loved me enough to die on the cross. You at Romans 8, 8 verse 5. Now, the thing about this terrible world we live in, this flesh we live in, is that the flesh, you may become a born-again Christian and love God with all your heart, but you're still in this old flesh. You know what? It never gets saved. It never is going to serve God. Watch this in Romans 8, verse 5. You got an option. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is what?
Life.
Which one you want? Which one you want?
Life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Flip over a minute to Romans 12. Thank you, Lord. We'll do that. That Romans 8, 5 through 8, where we were going to go, but that tells me there's two things going on. You know, I've got a choice which one I do. Flip Wilson made a fortune saying what?
The devil made me do it.
That's right. The devil made me do it. And we just developed a habit of saying that, right? Just funny. You know, just funny. That's okay. But it's a lie. Satan can't make you do anything. But you see, the longer you say it, you actually start believing it without even knowing you believe it. And pretty soon, instead of being on the offense, you get on the defense. You start running from him, so to speak, spiritually speaking. Again, I know, especially this lady, if she gets on the CB radio, I can only imagine what comes back. But, again, remember something. We are sowers, not growers. Remember that. We're just sower, not the grower. We're just called to sow the seed. All right? Now, again, we read over there about our mind. Look at Romans 12, 2. What do we do about it? What do we do? It said Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Hello? Don't be conformed to this world. One version said any longer. But be what?
Transformed.
What does that mean?
Changed.
Changed, exactly. How? Be transformed how? I don't notice something. Look at the suffix ing on renewing. What do you suppose that suffix ing implies?
Continually,
exactly. Ongoing. In other words, my mind will never become renewed. Okay? Ain't gonna happen. Why? Because all the garbage that goes in my ears all the time. Even though I'm not paying attention, I am paying attention. Right? It's recording all the time. See? Sitting in a restaurant, and just about every restaurant plays music. Have you ever noticed the music? Well, no. You don't have a clue what they just told you in that song. You see? See how subtle Satan is? Now,
so
here... I was where a speaker was one time. He used to be in the movie business. And he said, now, it's supposedly illegal now, but every fourth frame was a picture of a Coca-Cola or a bag of popcorn or a candy bar. And by the time intermission comes, you're starving to death. Well, what have they done? You didn't see that with your eyes, but you saw it with your... See, Satan's not stupid. The Bible says in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, what happened? The mouth speaks. Now, what goes in your ears goes in your heart. I'm not talking about this thumping gizzard over here. I'm talking about the spirit man. Remember it said a while ago, it mentioned the spirit. Those that have the things of the spirit in their mind, right? Now, whatever you hear, good, bad, or ugly, and I can show it to you, that goes in your spirit man, and it's never going to be moved. Good, bad, or ugly, it's there. Somebody can say, I hate your guts. They can apologize the rest of their life, but you don't never forget, right? You can forgive them, but you will not forget. Why? Because you heard it. See? Satan started with this a long time ago with music. And don't get me wrong, I listen to all kinds of music. I do. I don't want to sound like some super faith giant that don't ever, you know. But one thing we do at the house is that remote is between my wife and my chair on a little table We don't even have to get up. Just if they start using profanity, mash the button. I'm not going to subject myself to that. I get in enough of it all day when I don't even want to and can't do nothing about it, right? I mean, the booth next to you, the dock where you're at, the person you walk up to, you know, it goes on all the time. No respect whatsoever. Man, I can remember the old days, a lady walk up and somebody said something ugly, he'd get reprimanded in a heartbeat. Does that happen anymore? Why, no. Not half the time. Hey, because we have left our first love. We've gotten weary and well-doing. We've just kind of got so into the world that the world is into us. Romans 12:2 gives us the formula to fix it. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, one version says. But this says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. What does it mean, prove? You'll be living it out. You'll be living it out because your mindset has changed. You have stopped letting garbage. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not going to get in a bubble and, you know, stop all the garbage. We're living in the world. Remember what I said a while ago about the abundance of the heart? See, we hear this all day long, but if we don't take time to hear this, what is the abundance in my heart? Garbage. What's the old saying? Garbage in?
Garbage
out. And it's happening. And oh, I would never swear. Oh, I would never use profanity, but what about other things? You use profanity without uttering a cuss word. Now, what I mean by that is how we treat people where we go. We're here every day. We're here at this truck stop every day. I know these waitresses. If you notice, one brought me a prayer request a while ago, and that's an honor. And we're going to pray for that grandchild. Her grandchild's in Seattle, Washington, so she can't go see about it. You can imagine. But what I mean by that is I come in here and sit down and expect good service. I'm tired. I used to tell my wife, nothing I hate no worse than an ugly waitress. I don't mean physically necessarily, just ugly. But then I have to remember who just left. Who just ruined her day or his day, right? So I need to be aware of always ready to sow some good seeds in her life. Remember, we're sowers. But if I've left my first love, I'm only thinking about me. I'm hungry. Get my food out here yesterday, you know, whatever. So, you know, the story goes about this guy that was real, real picky about his food, you know. And no matter what his wife done, she couldn't please him. He found something wrong. Have you ever been around somebody like that? There's something wrong with everything. He said, I want two eggs. I want you to fry one and scramble the other one. She said, I can't go wrong this time. So she did that and put them down in front of him. He said, you scramble the wrong one. You ever see anybody like that? There's something wrong all the time. And we may have the opportunity to minister to the person that just happened to when we go in a restaurant. When I go in there, any restaurant, anywhere, I try to remember who I am in Christ. Not my name, not, you know, none of the hoopla. I mean, I'm a born-again child of the Most High God. In fact, sometimes my wife helps me remember. Remember who you are. And I said, well, I'm hungry. That's who I am. I'm a hungry individual. I want my place. No. Good to have somebody happy. But we have ventured out. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Well, I've got to get through with this. Wow. Turned into more than I thought. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to jump down through. Let's start at 17. And I'm going to skip a little down through there. Jesus, like I said earlier, now we have compromised to the point where sin's not sin anymore. Adultery is now taking care of a need I have. Hello? God gave me this. I've heard drivers say that. God gave me the desire, so it's okay. I beg your pardon. He gave you a desire for your spouse. Husband, wife, husband only. Okay? But we get so into the world that we hear this garbage. And again, on the music, you're hearing a three-way thing all the time, right? Me, you, and her, me, you, and him, whatever. Worse yet, him and him. That's really bad, you know? I say really bad, it's sin, right? What might be repulsive to me is not to God necessarily, it's sin. Just plain old sin that needs to be addressed. But we have compromises where nothing's really wrong. Look here, it says, Jesus talking here, Matthew 5, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. People will tell you, well, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're not under the law. This is true. We're under grace, but grace covers the law. Hello? Grace covers the law. In other words, if I'm living in under grace, and I'm glad we are, by the way, I'm so thankful we're not under the law, but living in grace covers all that. It'll make me want to live for that. You follow me? The penalty is just not as bad. Because if I look at this young lady back here, and y'all were some of the religious leaders and decided I was in lust, you'd just take me out and kill me. That's the way the law reads, right? There is no trial. That's what happened. You want the law, you keep it. But under grace, like I say, he didn't destroy it. Now watch this. For assuredly I say, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and watch this now, here's what I want to show you, and teaches men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at that again. It says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments. I'm not homosexual. I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. I'm not cussing. I'm not all those things we could list. You know, by the way, it's a sin if you do it, but it's not a sin if I do it. That's kind of our attitude, right? I'm okay. He said, if you break one of the least of these commandments, and worse yet, and teach men so. You know what we need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves? What is my life teaching other people? What is my life teaching other people? Could people watch me and want to know Jesus? I ask myself that all the time. Not because I'm a reverend, not because I'm a chaplain, not because anything except I'm a human being. I'm a born-again child of the Most High God. But could somebody watch my life without the chaplain shirt on, without the whatever, right? Not in the motorhome with Truck Stop Ministries on it, just going down the road in my pickup truck, so to speak. Would they want to know Jesus if they looked at me? I ask myself that, really. Drop on down to, I thought I had them numbered. Uh-oh. I don't know what verse it is. It says, assuredly, I say to you that you will by no means get out of there until you've paid the let's go further. You've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See? Already done it. If your right eye causes you to sin, I should have wrote those verse numbers down. You know where I'm at?
Yeah.
What verse is that?
29.
All right. If your right eye causes you to sin, what did he say to do?
Pluck it out.
Pluck it out. Pretty radical, ain't it? Good heaven. And cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you to one of your members perish than for have your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, for it's more profitable, again, one of your members perish. Boy. Then it goes on to say, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, we've compromised to the point where ain't nothing wrong. Now let me say something to you that have been divorced and remarried. There's good news. When you accept Christ as your Savior, when you repent, all that's gone. All that's gone. And when it says this, it's talking about born-again Christians. Now, for instance, I have no way to divorce my wife because we're both born again. You see? I can't. In fact, we would have done that a long time ago if we could. Probably. I mean, really and truly, if you really get down to it. See, that's never been an option for us because we're Christians, right? I mean, it says without, sexual immorality. In other words, one of us got to run around on the other one for that one to get out of it, so to speak. Neither one of us wasn't going to do that. So we're just kind of stuck together. So since we're stuck together, then let's make the best of it. And not just be stuck together, but let's make a great a marriage out of this. And that's not 50-50, that's 100-100. That's loving with all your heart, both of us all the time. But, again, if we've compromised, if we've left our first love and got into this compromise where nothing's really wrong anymore, right? I've had people come up to me and say they were Christian homosexual. Yeah. No, sorry. There ain't no such thing. But now, again, homosexuality is no more sin than anything else. God loves the homosexual just as much as he does me. In fact, I put that on Facebook the other day. We're supposed to vote whether it was wrong or not. Well, that's a no-brainer, I thought. But the percentage of people that voted, it didn't look like it. Why? Because we, as a nation, we as a people, have left our first love. We've got so far away from, we just don't take the time to read the book. And by the way, read it out loud when you read it. You got one free in your hand right now. You have no reason not to. That's free. Take it with you and read it out loud. And let me say this. If you've never done it, well, even if you have, I'm going back restudying the book right now. I'm in Isaiah, but if you've never studied the book of John, or if you don't know where to start studying, go to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the fourth one from the front of that New Testament, and study it. And when I say study it, read it. Don't skim it. Read it. And read it out loud. That way it goes into your heart. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by
the word of God.
That's right. We need to hear it. And then we'll find ourselves sticking true to our first love. Then we'll find ourselves true to our first love. Tonight, maybe we need to look at rededicating ourselves. A new commitment to Christ. And don't take that lightly. But maybe we need to say, I need to recommit my life. Maybe, I don't know what's in your life. Maybe you've never been born again, but I want to close with a simple prayer. based on 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's anything in your life that shouldn't be, you don't need to tell me or somebody. Tell him. He already knows anyway. That's the thing. And he loves you anyway. That's what blows my mind.
Amen.
He knows how rotten we are, and he still loves us. But we need to confess that sin and accept Christ as our Savior, or rededicate, whatever you want to call it. Now, I want to ask you to do this for me. I want everybody to pray this with me out loud, with your heads up and eyes open. And that way, if somebody in the room needs to pray this prayer, nobody's going to be embarrassed. I don't believe in embarrassment. That don't work. I don't believe in scare tactic. That don't work. But I do believe in what the Word says, if we confess our sins, and that's what we're going to do. You say, I'm a Christian, don't need it. You're right. That's fine. But just pray with us, just so, like I say, somebody beside you may need to pray it, and we don't want to embarrass them. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord,
to forgive my sins.
Come into my heart and help me to be
the kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
And
I'll live for you
to the best of my ability.
I'll read your word. I receive your word.
Thank you for your word.
It will now become
my roadmap of life.
Thank you for saving me.
And forgiving all my sins.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.